Blog Talk Radio.
November 28th, absolutely beautiful day here in Dallas, Texas, and we're counting down to Christmas. I hope all of you have begun that. It's less than 30 days before we get to Christmas. Today we're going to talk about what's going on in the Senate. Obviously, President Trump over in Congress today visiting with GOP senators talking about taxes. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in Alabama, where it appears, at least from a distance, that that election may be turning in favor of Judge Moore. But again, it's still pretty close. But I think the damage has stopped for Judge Moore. But we begin. I have a post over at the American Thinker today that I like to refer you to, and it's about what's happening with the Sisters of the Poor. The Sisters of the Poor. I think that's their correct name. I hope I'm not using the wrong name, but let's just call them the Sisters. They do a great deal of work helping elderly people and people who, frankly, are often left to themselves and who can get no help from anybody, no insurance. And these wonderful sisters take care of these people. And they got into a fight with Obamacare because Obamacare was forcing them to talk about contraceptives and abortion. And that's something that the sisters, from a religious standpoint, just don't feel comfortable with. So they got into a war with the Obama administration, with Obamacare. They won last, I think it was last year, sometime in the earlier part of the year, they won their case. So everything went back to normal. But now the Attorney General of California, Mr. Becerra, who has apparently become the commander, the infantry commander of the resistance against Trump, has gone after the sisters again, and there's apparently the Attorney General of Pennsylvania. And this is nothing but political posturing, by the way. They're not going to get to the sisters. The sisters are going to be left alone. But it really, and that's what my post is about, it really tells you about the state of the Democrat Party and how far to the left and how far to the secular left, I should say, the Democrat Party has gone, and what great financial dependency they have from groups like Planned Parenthood and the Feminist and Hollywood, that they basically, they cannot leave these poor sisters alone. They have to get into fights with them for one reason and one reason only, and that's because of abortion. These sisters obviously don't believe in abortion, as most Catholics don't. And it's really, it's a picture, it's a photograph of what is happening to the Democrat Party, and they should have been listening, and I talk about this in my post. They should have been listening to Professor Alan Dershowitz from Harvard, very big liberal guy, but a very traditional guy, who basically said, you know, the Democrat Party cannot continue going further to the left because they're not going to win elections. And when you see something like this, it confirms that at least in many parts of the party just wants to go to the left. And you know, when you're willing to get into a war with sisters who are taking care of the elderly, and they're doing it for free. They don't charge any money. I mean, this is a pure work of love. It is amazing. It tells you volumes about the Democrat Party. I have a post coming out tomorrow. I want to give you a preview. And it has to do with Nancy Pelosi and Cokie Roberts. You may have heard over the weekend that Nancy Pelosi, Representative Pelosi, came out. She didn't, let's say, defend Conyers' behavior, but she did say, well, of course, he's entitled to due process, and he's an icon of the Democrat Party and all this kind of stuff. Well, of course, that's a bunch of nonsense. I've never heard her say that Judge Moore in Alabama deserves due process. I mean, this is nothing but Nancy protecting her own, as she did with President Clinton. Remember, she was a big defender of President Clinton back in the late 90s. And so Nancy Pelosi, she's no feminist, unless feminism means supporting fellow Democrats. So don't take what Nancy Pelosi says very seriously. Frankly, it doesn't mean a heck of a lot. But another lady who did surprise me a great deal over the weekend was Corky Roberts of, well, she's with NPR, I believe, used to be with ABC. She may be with both. I'm not 100% sure. But let me paraphrase what she said, and I'm quoting this in my article as well. She basically said that everybody in Congress knew that you shouldn't get into an elevator by yourself with Representative Conyers. I guess that Representative Conyers had quite a woman reputation, and members of the media knew that. Of course, the question is, why are we finding this out now, Mrs. Roberts? Corky Roberts, why are we finding this out now? Why didn't you do a story years ago about the fact of this sexual misconduct on the part of men, powerful men, like Representative Conyers? Why didn't you do a story about this? Why did you keep that to yourself and even other members of the media, other women in the media? Why did you keep this to yourself? Tell us about this years ago. Why didn't you do a story on NPR, a big story, a big breaking story about Representative Conyers and his reputation for sexual misconduct? It doesn't surprise me with Nancy Pelosi, because my expectations of Nancy Pelosi are very low. So really, you know, with Nancy Pelosi, frankly, anything goes. But with Corky Roberts, I am a little surprised. I thought she was a bit more serious, and I thought she was a better journalist than that. You would think that if women knew that this was going on in Congress, if there was a sort of an understanding about among women not to get into an elevator by yourself with Representative Conyers, I'm surprised that this never came out, and I'm surprised that none of the women in the media ever broke that story. So this is, I think, a poor reflection on Corky Roberts as well as other members of the media. I mean, if they knew this stuff, why in the world didn't they tell us about it? I wish I had known about this stuff, and I think a lot of Americans wish they had known about this too. I bet a lot of interns, a lot of little women interns in Congress would have loved to hear that story. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, taking a look at some of the big stories of the day on our commentary for Tuesday, November the 28th. You know, there's a big, big story today, of course, coming out of Washington, D.C., and that is that President Trump is in the Congress today talking to the members of the Congress, and they're talking about the Senate and the GOP tax program. Look, the bottom line is that the U.S. Senate, the GOP, has to do this. They're not going to get any Democrat votes, at least not right now. Now, there is a rumor floating around that once the Republicans get the 50 votes, meaning once they have this ready to pass, that you'll see a bunch of Democrats conveniently join the train or get on the train. And some of these Democrats may be from what they call red state Democrats, like West Virginia, Missouri, Indiana, Montana, and all of those places. That may happen. I'm not denying that. That possibility could happen, that you could have a bunch of these Democrats joining in or trying to get into the show after the show starts. But the bottom line is that this is going to have, the heavy lifting is going to have to be done by Republicans. And I think at the end of the day, it will be done, for the simple reason that I don't think they can afford to blow this again as they did with health care. I just don't think they can afford it. And also at the same time, as we saw in the editorial in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago, you know, the Wall Street Journal, and I respect the Wall Street Journal a great deal when it comes to the economy, when it comes to these kinds of issues, they have basically endorsed the program. It doesn't mean it's a perfect program. And obviously there are going to be differences. A lot of the differences have a lot more to do with states and regions and party. But obviously if you're the senator from Montana, you've got a different interest than, let's say, a senator from Georgia or a senator from Alabama or a senator from New Mexico, whatever it may be. So these senators have different interests. They have to represent different interests. They have to go back to their states and say, I got you this, I got you that. And I think that's what you're seeing now. But I believe there's enough on the table. I believe there's enough on the table for a deal to be made. I just don't see it any other way. And I do believe they're going to make it. It's going to be close because, you know, it's always that way. They only have 52 votes, so they got to keep, you know, 50 votes at least so that they can lose two and still do it. So I think they're going to do it. I think they're close enough that they're going to do it. And I think it's going to be a huge victory for the GOP psychologically, for the base as well. There will be a sense that these guys can get something done, which is extremely important at this stage of the game. I think it'll be a victory for President Trump as well. So let's get it done. Let's get it done. I understand it's complicated. I understand these things are complicated. They take time, but we got to get this done. I mean, there's no excuse, absolutely no excuse for messing up this time as you did with healthcare. It's unacceptable. No excuse. So let's get it done. I would also ask the question, where are the moderates in the U.S. Senate? These moderate Democrats that we've been told who represent places like West Virginia and Montana and Indiana and Missouri, where are these moderate Democrats? Why aren't they at least joining the effort and saying, hey, I want to be part of the solution? And I think it speaks very poorly of them. And I hope the people in all of these red state all of these red states remember that when these Democrats go back for reelection and say, hey, I represent you. I'm a moderate. No, you're not. You're with Chuck Schumer. And that's not being a moderate. You're with Chuck Schumer. And there's nothing moderate about that. So I hope the Republicans running against these so-called moderate Democrats remember this. And I hope the people in those states remember that. Every one of these Democrats in these so-called red states should be removed in 2018. For the sake of those states, they should be removed in 2018. Looking down at the election in Alabama, it's an interesting thing that's happened. It seems like by the day, the trend seems to be going toward Mr. Moore. Now, he was not my candidate. I've said that many times before. I would have preferred the man who is currently on that job, and that's Senator Strange. Senator Strange would have won this election by 20 points. We wouldn't even be talking about this election if he was a candidate, but he's not, obviously. And we're talking about it because of Mr. Moore. But I think in some ways the incidents with Franken and Conyers have, in a sense, made life easier for Moore. Because Moore, the allegations against Moore come from 1979. It's he said, she said 38 years ago. Whereas the case of Franken, the case of Conyers is, you know, right now. And in some cases, there's women stepping up saying this is what he did. And in the case of Conyers, the situation is a lot more than sexual misconduct. I mean, there's an allegation with Conyers that he may have used office money to pay off these women. If that's the case, I think he's got a legal problem to deal with. I'm not sure that most Americans want their budgets, their congressional budgets, to be used to pay off women. I think that's going to be a huge scandal. And if anybody else gets involved in this, any other representatives, if we hear more about this, I think this is going to be a huge scandal. It's going to rival. Remember the banking scandal? Was it in the 80s or the 90s when the bank was running overdrafts for members of the House without fee? Remember that particular cost a bunch of incumbents their seats. I think something like this could be very dangerous on many incumbents as well. Let me take a minute here and say happy number 88. You know, whenever somebody celebrates 88 years, we say happy birthday, have a great deal of fun saying happy birthday to anybody who turns 88. And today the man of the hour is Berry Gordy, who, of course, is well known in the music business as the man who basically founded Motown. He started this incredible music empire called Motown in Detroit. You know, the Supremes, the Four Tops, the Jackson Five, Diana Ross, I mean, the Temptations. I mean, it's a machine. It's a music machine that he created that many of us grew up listening to, the absolutely fabulous Motown sound. He's 88 years old today. I'm not sure how he's doing or anything like that. I just saw that he's 88, and I wanted to say, man, congratulations, Berry Gordy. Happy number 88. He's not just a great music story. This is also a great business story, a great story of capitalism and what you can do in the United States. That's what this story is really all about. So happy number 88 to Berry Gordy, the man who started Motown. And we say happy number 59 to a great, absolutely great major leaguer, and that's Dave Righetti, who pitched for the Yankees a few years ago and more recently became the pitching coach for the San Francisco Giants. In fact, he was the pitching coach when they won the World Series in 2010, 2012, and 2014. So happy birthday, Dave Righetti, and happy birthday, Berry Gordy. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.